The 2024 season is underway, and the New York Yankees have been one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. We got a lot to talk about on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first 2024 regular season edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. The Yankees have gotten off to a fantastic start to the new year. 10-3 record. They are just, you know, I would say not over exceeding expectations, but they're really getting off to a good start. And in the past, we've seen those teams that are able to get off to a good start have a little more wiggle room as the season goes on. Yes, the dog days of summer are coming. But if you're the Yankees, you want to get hot and stay hot. And that's what this team has done. This is a team that is still missing a couple of key guys, and we're going to talk about that. But the early sights from this team, you got to be very excited with what they've done. Now, before we get started and we dig into everything, a friendly reminder, follow us on Twitter. We're on all social media. Find us Delahanty Media. And make sure you subscribe on whatever podcasting platform you choose to listen, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcast, wherever it is, subscribe to the show, get all the latest news and updates regarding our latest episodes. Now, of course, you're not here for my public advertising, and quite frankly, I'm not either. We're here to talk about the New York Yankees. Like I said earlier, 10-3 through 13 games, they're first in the American League East, and I'm going to take you back to that opening series in Houston. Now, of course, Houston's always a team that when you see them on the schedule, as of recent memory, they're a team that you have to be a little worried about. And right from the onset, Nestor Cortes struggled in the first inning against the Astros in that opener on that Thursday afternoon. Yankees ended up winning the entire series. They swept the Astros, which to me was a very, very big momentum boost, because not only do you claim the advantage over Houston and win the season series with them, because they'll play them again later on in the year, but it's not enough games for the Astros to win the season series, but you prove that, hey, you know, we swept the Astros without Gerrit Cole. We swept the Astros without DJ LeMahieu. And you saw guys filling in and, you know, helping lead the charge, and it's really nice to see that they're getting production from so many different guys. Then you look, they go to Arizona, they win 2 of 3. That's a very tough trip, too. You're going to the West Coast, you're the time difference and all that. They win 2 of 3 against Toronto in the home series. The offense was basically flat in that home opener, unfortunately, but they bounce back nicely. They win 4 in a row, including 2 of 3 against Miami, and that's where we sit right now as the Yankees are now hitting the road. They're going to go to Cleveland for 3. They're going to go to Toronto for 3. And then they're going to return home for 2 series in a row against Tampa and Oakland. If you're going to be in the stadium on Oakland for Oakland on the 23rd, I will be there. Make sure you say hello. We'll definitely have to catch up if you're going to be in attendance. But there are a couple of guys I want to talk deeper into today. Kind of give my sense on how I'm feeling about some of the new guys. What's my take on some of the old guys? How concerned am I about certain injuries? So there is quite a few things that we could dive into. But I think if I didn't, it would be wrong to not start with this guy. And that is Juan Soto. What a difference Juan Soto makes in a lineup. First and foremost, his at-bats are just magical to watch. Yes, guy has a lot of power. He can hit the ball essentially anywhere on the field. But the way that he takes pitches and his discipline at the plate is something you can't teach. And it's such an element to this Yankees lineup, because he could work a 7 or 8 pitch at bat at any given time. It's not just, oh, Soto's going to go up and hit a home run on the first pitch of the at bat. Sure, he could do that, but he makes pitchers grind. And how does that help a lineup? Think about this. Gleyber Torres was hitting at the top of the order to begin the year. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But say Gleyber, you know, comes up, gets on base in 2 pitches. it's not really showing the rest of the team what that pitcher's got during that game or during that outing. But Soto working the at-bat, that benefits everybody behind him. It benefits Judge and Stanton and Rizzo and all those guys that benefit from being behind him in the lineup. Sure, people will look at just his average and say, wow, he's hitting 360. That's great. That's cool. But look deeper into that. The guy's got 12 RBIs already. He's walked 11 times. He's walked 11 times in 13 games. So even when he's not doing damage with the bat, he's working the count. He's finding ways to get on base. That's what the Yankees have missed. They've missed that over the last couple of years. Guys who could work the count, could get on base. It's just such a refreshing thing to see that Soto brings to this Yankees lineup. Now, of course, you have to ease the excitement a little bit because a year from now, it's possible that this guy might not even be a Yankee. But if you're the Yankees organization, I think at this point you have to be knocking on Scott Boras's door and telling him, look, I know you like to bring your guys to free agency. We get that. But this is a guy we're not letting out the door. And make him an offer he can't refuse. The guy's in his mid-20s. He's not even in his prime yet. You gotta lock him up. He's a guy that changes the entire energy of this ball club. And speaking of those type of guys, Alex Verdugo is one of them as well. Yeah, sure, hasn't gotten off to the hottest start that you would like, but opening day was evident of what this guy could do for you. Last year, left field was an absolute joke for this organization. It felt like they had a different left fielder every day. Verdugo goes out, hustles, plays great defense, has that swagger about him. I saw it on social media, and I don't want to take credit for it. So, again, it's something that I saw, but it's so true. Verdugo is that guy that you love when he's on your team, and you hate when he's off of your team. Why? Just the way he approaches the game, that swagger, that confidence. People see it as arrogance. I see it as, you know what? This guy's enjoying the game. He's playing his butt off, and you know what? He's going to have fun with it. Good for him. And yes, if he was still in the Red Sox, probably wouldn't like it. I'm not going to say I wouldn't. But when he's on your team, he's an impact type of guy. And whatever you get from him offensively, say he hits 15 homers and gives you 20-plus doubles on the year and hits 260, 270, you take that. With the defense that he's giving you, great. It's a perfect recipe for this team. And he's another guy that brings that energy, that brings that, you know, that boost that you need to a clubhouse. These guys are gelling very nicely, and I think the new guys like Soto and Verdugo are playing a big role in that. They fit in nicely from the onset. And this team has a ton of talent. But now you look at this lineup, and instead of them penciling in Aaron Hicks, who was hitting 130 for him last year, your lineup is deep. The other thing is that you're not changing your lineup every single day. The Yankees use consecutive lineups for like 4 days in a row. That didn't happen all of last year. And sure, you're going to see them mix and match with Trevino and Wells behind the plate. But the stability of the everyday lineup is so critical. And if they could stay healthy, it's something that I really feel could stick. Because you know what? You're looking at this lineup as a whole and you have guys that want to play every day. Aaron Judge, as much as, you know, he's had injury history and he's still dealing with that toe injury he suffered last year. He's a guy who wants to play every day. Verdugo doesn't want to come out of the lineup. Soto plays every day. Volpe wants to play every day and can play every day. Rizzo's been an everyday type of player in his career. Gleyber Torres is a 150-plus type of player. Those guys are going to be in the lineup. And sure, Aaron Boone's going to mix and match when he gets some days off. But when you're looking at it from a grand perspective, you're going to have consistency. And for a team, that consistency can mean so much. So I'm liking what I see from these new guys. And we didn't even really touch on John Birdie, who the Yankees acquired essentially right before opening day, because DJ LeMay, who's still banged up, seems like he's closer to returning. But at this point, John Birdie, who we thought was going to get more of an opportunity at third base, yeah, he's played in six games, but the way Oswaldo Cabrera started the year, it's hard to take the kid out of the lineup. he's getting that opportunity and he's making the most of it. Playing good defense, hitting over 330 on the year so far. Has a couple of homers, some clutch hits. You know, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that next man up mentality. And Cabrera knows what it is. If you don't produce, you're not going to play. So for a young guy who's been in the Bronx and has experienced it, he's looking at it as his opportunity to prove his worth. Because eventually, DJ LeMahieu is going to come back. But who's to say that they don't suffer another injury, knock on wood, in that time or later on? But they make that injury. It forces the front office to say, hey, look, Oswaldo Cabrera can handle it for the time being. Let's give the kid a shot. And let's be honest. You're always auditioning for another opportunity. So if the Yankees say, you know what, we have a lot of depth, maybe Cabrera could get you pitching if you see at the deadline you need an extra arm. Sure, he's a great clubhouse guy. We don't want to see him go. We want him to thrive in New York. But you always have to think of that, especially with young prospects. You know, if you have a need on your team and you have depth elsewhere, that guy might become expendable. So there's a lot of elements to it, but right now, the way you're looking at it, Cabrera gets an A-plus for how he's played early on in the year because he's really been a spark plug, especially at the bottom part of the Yankees order. And then we're going to get to my guy, Anthony Volpe. Now, I just have to say this, and I want to put this on the record. I will be very, very, very frustrated with Aaron Boone if he ruins Anthony Volpe. And here's what I mean by that. Volpe started the year batting sixth. And he was obviously very comfortable in that spot. Aaron Boone was asked when Volpe might make that transition to the top of the order. And of course, if you go back on past shows, I have said I see him as a top of the order guy. I really do. I can see him being the Yankees leadoff hitter for 10 to 15 years. But I think the timing of switching him and Gleyber Torres was wrong. And Gleyber's pressing a little bit at the top of the order, and I understand that. But I wanted to see Volpe really embrace that role as the sixth hitter in the lineup. And you know what? Take what they're giving him. Why rush him into the leadoff spot when you don't have to? Kind of like that don't fix what isn't broken type of scenario. That's really what I see it as. And of course, the kid has been red hot. When you have other managers realizing that your shortstop's going to be a superstar in this game, that's a lot of credibility because these other managers aren't around these guys every day. But when they're in the ballpark and they see what they're doing, that's a real testament to the work that Volpe's put in. And you could see the improvements that he's made on his swing, even on his defense. Gold Glover last year, he's playing at an elite level this year. He's just risen to the occasion and he's embracing being the shortstop of the New York Yankees, just what we all hoped. I just hope that if Volpe begins to press a little bit, Boone isn't afraid to drop him in the lineup. Now, of course, it's all speculation. I think that Volpe's going to thrive in that leadoff spot. But you have to think of the future of this kid and put him in the best position to succeed. Moving him in the order at a time where he's been red hot doesn't really make sense to me. I would have waited till he cooled down a little bit and it was more of a sample size. Hey, listen, if he cools down a little bit, then maybe you say, you know what, let's switch it up a little bit. Let's get him in front of Soto. Let's get him some good pitches to hit. But for the time being, just let him rake where he was. Don't fix what isn't broken. And then when you look at some of the other guys in the lineup, Judge has been struggling. Can you believe the Yankees are 10-3 and Judge is really pressing at the plate? He's walked 14 times. Between Judge and Soto, those guys have walked 25 times already. That's insane to me. You know, Giancarlo Stanton got off to a real cold start. But with Stanton, he's a guy that you have to embrace the highs and the lows. Sure, we love him when he's hot. And he's hitting line drives out of the Yankee Stadium ballpark and hitting the ball 100 miles per hour down the line and doing big things with the bat. But in the same token, he's a slugger that is going to experience his struggles. And you just got to kind of live with them. I get the frustration, but at the salary he's making, you know, you just hope that he can figure it out. And it seems like the last couple of games, he's starting to be a little more comfortable and confident in the box. And he's shown flashes of that guy that we know he could be. Listen, Stanton isn't going to be a guy that's going to hit 350 He's not going to be that guy, that big on base. He's going to strike out 200 times a year. You know that's coming. All you hope for with Giancarlo is that he's healthy and that he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Give me 250, 30-plus homers, 80-plus RBIs, and call it a day. That's all I want from Big G. If Big G could do that, Yankees are in a good spot. Now, before we get into the pitching that's actually been on the field, it's important to talk about some of the latest updates. In our last show, I talked about going out and getting Blake Snell. I talked about possibly looking into Jordan Montgomery. Neither one of them panned out. I think there's a couple of things with that. Number one, I don't think the Yankees really wanted to overpay for a starter, especially given that, you know, they signed Stroman, Rodon and Cole are on big contracts. And really, if you're not in love with the pitcher, why would you pay that type of price? So that was the first thing. The second thing is I think the Yankees were comfortable with their pitching depth. And of course, they traded a lot of pitching depth for Soto. You understand that. You know, Cole's hurt. You're looking at this rotation right now and you're saying, you know, Cortez has struggled in the first inning. And that's been something he's dealt with almost all season so far. Yes, he's only three starts in, but it's something that, you know, two out of three starts, that's a little bit of a trend growing. You look at Marcus Stroman, who, in my opinion, has been more than expected. You know, he's really lived up to being a pitcher on the New York Yankees. He's embracing it. I hope that it's not just a honeymoon stage with him where he's happy-go-lucky and then things turn south. You know, he did have a little bit of a struggle in his last start, but again, settled down really nicely and was able to get, you know, the Yankees in a position to win the game or at least be in the game. You know, you just hope that the wheels don't fall off when you're struggling. And he was able to avoid that, which was good. But you have to love Stroman's energy and his enthusiasm and the way he is. And he's different. And that's something that people don't typically like, especially New York Yankees fans, especially older fans. They don't like that way that Stroman is. But I'm here to tell you, it's good for this team. Why? Because if he's the way he is all year, and for the duration of his contract, he's going to be such a valuable asset to this team. The swagger and the way he acts and, you know, sometimes he showboats on the mound a little bit. The antics are there, but they're not harmful. And he's a guy that, even when he was a Blue Jay, I liked the way he was on the mound. And I liked the way that he carries himself. Yes, there's a lot of things that, you know, he's done in the past that would be a little bit of a red flag for you, but the early take on Stroman, great, great addition for the Yankees. He's been looking really good. And if you're the Yankees, you just hope that production continues. Because if the Yankees are winning and Stroman's doing well, you're not going to have to worry about Marcus Stroman because he's going to be the one that wants the ball in the big game. He's going to be the one that calls on Aaron Boone and says, look, we need a win. I'm going to get it for you. I like that. I like that dog in him. Even Carlos Rodon, who was very disappointing a year ago, has really looked good in his early starts. Yeah, there's been some, you know, times where you're like, oh boy, old Rodon's back. But this is a guy that looks great. He looks in a lot better shape than he was a year ago. He looks healthy. And you know what? If he could be a 5-6 inning pitcher and limit teams to one or two runs a night, you're going to take that. You're going to take that with open arms. So Rodon, that might be the biggest piece of the Yankees rotation right there because you kind of know what you're going to get from Cortez. You know what you're going to get from Stroman. Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil right now are kind of your wild cards. And then Cole's on the shelf until at least June. So that guy in Carlos Rodon has to be the pitcher that the Yankees signed him to be. He cannot be the guy we saw a season ago. But the early start of it, you know, you got to be happy with what you saw. And Clark Schmidt is literally Clark Schmidt. Like, that's what you're going to get out of him. He's a typical number four, number five starter. He's going to give you some length. He'll have some good outings. He'll have some shaky ones. But you just hope that he could get hot and help you win some games. And then Luis Gil. I think this guy's going to be the wild card. I really do. I think as the Yankees start to build him up, remember, he did have Tommy John surgery, so there's still a build-up process with him, I believe. You know, you're still looking. The Yankees are not fully unleashing him right away, and I agree with that 110%. But his stuff, when you watch him throw, it's just different. He's one of those guys that you look at and you're like, man, his fastball is good. His secondary pitches are good. He's really a guy who could be a middle of the rotation starter for you. And who knows? Maybe Cole comes back and the Yankees have another injury, knock on wood again. Or the Yankees send him to the minor leagues and keep him as depth. You never know what could happen. So he's a guy that I like. I like the early start for him through two starts. I'm excited to see what else he could bring to the table. But I think the Yankees could have a lot worse options if you look at it in terms of starting pitching. And then you go to the bullpen. They lose Loaisiga for the year. He, again, cannot beat the injury bug. We might have seen the last of Jonathan Loaisiga as a Yankee, unfortunately. Another, you know, versatile arm that was really valuable when healthy. Just can't stay on the field at this point. And you look at the Yankees' bullpen. They've had a couple of guys that have really stepped up. You know, Ian Hamilton's going to be a guy they're going to rely on a lot. Caleb Ferguson's another one. He's already got five appearances under his belt. Nick Birdie, five appearances. He's not allowed a run yet. Clay Holmes in the closer's role. Yeah, Clay Holmes likes to give us heart attacks at times, but you know what? The early onset is he's going to be a guy they're going to rely on. Luke Weaver saw some time early. Victor Gonzalez, who they traded for. Clayton Beter, who threw three pitches in opening weekend and was sent down to the minors. I really love Clayton Beter's pitch arsenal. I really do. I think he's going to be a very, very good big leaguer for the Yankees, or a trade piece at this point, because, you know, you never know with prospects. But the pitching's in a stable spot right now. What the pitching can't afford is for the starting pitching to either A, suffer an injury, or B, struggle to get length. And they're going to have to give 5 to 6 innings a night, because you don't want to burn your bullpen out in April. You're planning to play in October and November. Your bullpen has to be fresh. And the Yankees have some arms. They don't have the notable arms like in the past, like Zach Britton and Aroldis Chapman. Those guys aren't there. Those big contracts are not included in this bullpen. You're going to see the Yankees using guys that they're taking risks on that have good stuff, and they think they can mix and match. And that's what you've seen early on in the year. And you're going to see some guys that have developed. The Yankees have had no problem letting guys like Chad Green go. They're working on building up from within the bullpen. And you're going to get Tommy Canley back at some point. You're going to get some of these guys who have been injured. You got Scott Efros is one of them. So for now, you're going to see a lot of these guys that they're going to just give opportunities to. And it's going to be sink or swim. But the good news is they have a lot of pieces that they could pull up and down in order to try to see what works the best. And if you're the Yankees right now, you're looking at this situation, and you're saying we're 10-3, great start to the year. Just got to keep it rolling. And that's what it comes down to. Find ways to continue winning ball games and take care of the day-to-day things. And of course, stay healthy. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We'll be back for more in the very near future. Make sure you subscribe to our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, however you listen to our show, to get all the latest news and information regarding our show and the Delahanty Media brand as a whole. Until next time, like I said earlier, I'm Nick Delahanty. Until then, let's go Yankees. We will talk to you very soon.